Thank you for tuning into a podcast in our series, Real Life. Stay tuned for an inspirational exploration of dynamic experiences and insightful reflections on the highs, the lows life presents. TBS Now Radio brings you engaging content no matter where you are listening to this stream. Don't touch that dial as you journey with our presenter and guest today. Remember, this is a real-life podcast stream coming to you from TBS Now Radio. Stay with us as we uncover faith-based principles and practical ways to make a success of life.
Good afternoon and welcome to Real Life with Femi Biwoye. My guest today is Dr. Hebsey Tagoe. Dr. Hebsey Tagoe is a research scientist with a PhD in skin biology. She's a multiple award-winning science communicator, and she's the business owner of the Learning Center in Basildon.
That's correct.
The Town Square Center.
Town Square Learning Center.
Learning Center in Basildon, Essex. She is a multiple award-winning science communicator. She is a charity director. She's got so many different bows in her, you know, portfolio. And it's a pleasure to have her here this afternoon. She's regional chair for the Royal Society of Biology in Bedfordshire, Essex, and the Hertfordshire branches. And she's a 2019 Winston Churchill Fellow. Hebsey's work through her charity GH Scientific focuses on empowering young people and their parents from underserved communities and hard-to-reach audiences. She helps them to improve their science capital and social mobility by providing opportunities to enable them make informed decisions. Hebsey regularly speaks and writes on community engagement, starting an enterprise, the inequalities in the STEM industry, not just as a black woman in science, or the challenges she faced as a mom during her PhD, but also she focuses on the role of location and the big city bubble in creating barriers. She was named in the 2018 Financial Times top black Asian minority ethnic woman in UK tech for her work in the industry. Dr. Hebsey,
hello,
you
sir.
Are welcome to Real Life with Femi Biwoye.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a privilege from our perspective to have you here with us. So please share with my audience your early life. Where were you born and what was early family life like?
I was born in Ghana, so I am Ghanaian. Early family life. Yes, he's Ghana in the house.
Okay. To all my GH people there.
Yes, so early life. Where do I start from? Education, family. So, I went to a military school. I grew up as a, my dad was an army officer, so I grew up in Bemacomp. I completed my primary secondary school education in Ghana. I've got three brothers. What else can I say about my early life? Does early life need to be?
Fantastic. So let's start in the beginning.
Yes.
So you were born in Ghana. Which part of Ghana were you born?
Accra.
Accra,
yes.
Ghana. So I haven't been to Ghana before.
Okay.
Some of our audience are Ghanaians and they are familiar with Accra. So tell us a little bit about growing up in Accra. What was life like there?
I can't give the best account of what Accra would be like, you know, African parents and all, when you girl is like, you can't go out, school, home, so there's not much I can tell you about life in Accra. However, you know, pretty standard nuclear family setting. The school wasn't too far from home, so my brothers and I would walk to school together, and then there's church on Sunday. I probably went to two parties in my whole adult life, up to 17.
Wow.
My teacher, you're picked up by 6 p.m. I'm like, Mom, the party's
those are
just started.
Parties that you want to disclose to the world.
She knew what I left before the party even started, you know. And party starts at 2, it really starts at 6, and Mom is at the door by 6. And I'm like, really? It's just starting, Mom. Can you? But yes, so I probably did live a very sheltered life.
Okay, so you grew up in military barracks?
Yes.
Okay. And your dad was a top military officer.
He retired as an army general, yes.
Okay, okay. And there's a little bit of sadness in your life at the moment because...
Yeah, my daddy passed away earlier this year. It wasn't COVID related. He'd been unwell for about 2-3 years. Post-retirement, thank you very much. But a lot of who I am today is 100% down to my dad. I know mom's not listening, no offense. We all love you, mom.
Mom, she loves you, but she's talking about dad now.
Yes, yes. So he sacrificed a lot for us, and particularly, I've got three brothers, so I don't have any sisters. So he was very conscious of giving me the best of everything that I could have. Just because I was his only daughter, I suppose.
Wow, and, look at that. Yes. The only daughter, the apple of his eyes. Okay.
I sure was.
There's a very famous military leader from Ghana who passed away, was it last year?
Ex-president?
Yes, your ex-president.
Yes.
Did your dad work with him?
When he was a junior officer, very, very in his earlier years, yes, he did serve temporarily, not for too long. But his specialty was in signals, so communications.
Okay.
I know it's not easy to be about my dad, but, you know, he did achieve a lot in his lifetime. You know, he was director of communications at one point. He served on the National Communications Agency Board.
Fantastic.
He's well-traveled, of course.
We can see the communication
It's flowing now. It's flowing now. I can talk about my daddy all day.
So tell us about your mom.
Yes, so mom holds the family together as all moms do. Mom is a judge. She was an investigator, turned lawyer, then became a judge eventually. Obviously, dad being in the military wasn't home much. So a lot of the training and the, you have to be home by 4 p.m. or 6 p.m. Yeah. It's mom who had done all of that.
Right.
And as I said, she holds the family together. Very special lady.
Fantastic.
And yes.
Okay, so, Dr. Hebzi, you are a skin biologist.
Yes.
Tell us, what do you do to become a skin biologist?
Okay, so I specialised through a PhD to go down that sector.
Mm.
And it's not one of those things where you start off and you say, I want to be a skin biologist. But when I started my career in the scientific industry, very early on realised that if you do want to be in senior management positions, you have to have a PhD.
Okay.
Yes. And so...
was that the only reason why you did the PhD?
And my dad. You must have a PhD.
Okay.
But that was the initial... I'll backtrack a little bit. So, obviously, I went into science because coming from Ghana, usually if you're a good student, you're pushed into science. So when I came to England, I was 17 at the time, to then start sit form, science was the only subject that I did know to do, hence why.
Which of the sciences were you good at?
So it used to be biology, now chemistry is my favourite.
Okay.
Yes, I am pretty much all-rounded, I might say, but I used to enjoy biology because it was... I'll tell you why. When I transitioned from Ghana to the UK, usually when you're in Ghana, you're like, oh my gosh, when you go to the UK, you get to the top of the class because we learn so much and it's not as intense in the UK, but that's not really true. I'm not sure how it is for Nigeria, but that wasn't my experience.
So you got a shock.
I did, and it was only because it's a different style of learning.
Okay.
Hence why the only subject I didn't struggle with was biology. Because the fact is, you can't really change, you know, what biology is. Whereas, you know, when it comes to physics, I'd gone from
the phylums, the
all the theoretical stuff to suddenly, you know, being given assignments about wiring electrical cables, and of course, that's not how I learned my physics in school. You know, give me the theory, I can regurgitate it back to you very easily. So I did struggle a little bit when
I came. The practical side of things.
Yes, yes, okay. And there's a lot of coursework. Or at the time, there was a lot of coursework you had to be doing, and I wasn't used to that style of, you know, learning assessment. And so it knocks your confidence a little bit, but we move on from that.
You are confident. There's no knocking this confident lady.
100% now.
Okay, so you're recognized as one of the 10 most influential Black, Asian, minority ethnic women in tech.
Yes.
How did that come about?
Interesting story. Yes, so the way a lot of these awards work, not necessarily you as a person working in that industry specifically, but it was because of the work I do with a lot of our young people in that sector.
Okay.
Yes. So one of the, well, I know we'll come to Geoscientific later on, but we focus with a secondary audience on alternative science careers, because okay. we all know about the nursing and the midwifery and the medicine, mm-hmm. And even IT, everyone just thinks, you know, literally sitting behind a computer or coding, and there's a lot more to the segment. You have cybersecurity, you have database specialists, and all those sectors. And so a lot of the work that we do is STEM in general, but when it comes to tech, it's specifically, you know, alternate career options available to you. So it's not about software engineering or coding, you know, those areas are all great, but not everyone's designed to code.
The interesting thing is most people don't think about technology, don't think about IT as science, really.
Exactly.
You kind of think about it as technology now.
Yes.
It looks like the dichotomy between the arts and the science has even morphed into more channels.
Yes, 100%. And over time, we hope it's something that we do say, you know, it's, there are two sides of the same coin. Yeah. And really, I mean, every holistic organization now has interdepartmental relationships, and really the biologist needs to understand what the, I'm going back to the coder, would be doing, so that when it comes to computational modeling, you are at least communicating on the same level. And so I think we are moving away from segregating each of these sectors and saying, you know, this is IT and that's biology.
Fantastic. There are a lot of young people out there in the community who probably are listening to this program. And so some of the terminologies are very familiar. They're in familiar territory. But for people who are of the older generation, who are not in generation
XYZ.
Generation, or who are not the millennials, because I think they're still... Are they millennials or are they Z generation now? Let's talk about the millennials. The millennials are 1981 born up till somewhere around about, it's a little bit
90s, maybe mid-90s.
So they'll be
under 2000.
They're probably listening to this program now. Okay, so I want to ask you a side question.
Yes.
As a biologist, why is blood not always red?
Oh my goodness, did you have to ask me that?
I saw that on your platform. You had a talk about why blood is not always red.
Oh my goodness.
Give us
this auntie has not done her homework on why blood is not always red. Right, so it's to do with the binding of the oxygen to the actual hemoglobin that you have in your red blood cells.
Okay, and break it down to us.
Can I skip this question? Because if any scientists listening, they're going to be like, that doctor came on the radio.
Let us come back to
false information.
Okay. You're involved with a female activist movement.
Okay.
Snapping the stiletto.
Oh, right.
What
is
that all about?
Yes, interesting. So, again, conversations we can come back onto later, but I received a text message from a contact from the British Science Association saying, BBC Essex, we're looking for ambassadors to champion a campaign about the inequalities around the typical Essex girl.
Okay.
And so they nominated me, and there must have been over 100 nominations.
Who's a typical Essex girl? Okay, we'll come back to that.
Hence the campaign. I'm glad you brought this up so I can tell them I'm doing my job, you know. And so the so there were 100 people who had been nominated, and of course I am Ghanaian first of all, before, you know, converted British national and now living in Essex. And so the nomination in itself, looking for a girls representative of Essex for this campaign, wasn't it was quite special when I got that information. So eventually we shortlisted 6 ambassadors, of which I'm one of those. And the whole idea of the campaign is, apparently the term Essex girl had been removed from the dictionary because it is in the dictionary and it's defined as, you know, the... Really?
A racy connotation.
Yeah, and apparently they're not very smart and they just want to be in the salon all day, and which I suppose comes from the TV program, which I had never watched until I had to become an ambassador for this campaign. I had heard of it, but I think the general Essex girl perception is that they're very shallow and they're only concerned about their looks and you know, voice and the blonde hair and that sort of thing. So the idea of the campaign is to showcase, you know, the other amazing women from Essex who are, there's more to Essex, the Essex girl.
Give us a few that we'll recognise, a few names.
Oh gosh, wow. Okay, so there's a very, there's a young girl called Maya who runs Maya's.
Shout out to Maya.
Yes, Maya's, I think it's called African Book Project. And what she does...
Maya African Books Project.
Yes, something along the giggly. I'm sure her name will come up. But Maya gets a lot of African history books aimed at the young people. And she sends them out to schools so that there's a lot more, I suppose, diverse literature in the libraries.
Is she blonde?
No! Maya's very black.
Maya's black.
Black
from Essex.
Okay, so fantastic. We have Maya... there's another lady, what's her name? Pepe, her name is. And Pepe, what's in the prison reform sector. And so, I mean, obviously, there's so many reasons why people end up in prison. And usually they come out and it's even harder trying to, you know, get back into society.
Okay.
And so she works a lot to...
So these are counterculture to The Only Way is Essex.
Exactly. Toby, yes, it's one of the characters in The Only Way is Essex.
Okay.
And so there's a lady who runs a Chinese society, and they do a lot in Chelmsford and Colchester, and just trying to integrate, you know, the Chinese and the rest of the Essex community.
Yeah.
So,
I had a friend once who came all the way from, I think it was somewhere near Edinburgh or somewhere, and they wanted to find out where they shot The Only Way is Essex, that pub on the high street in Essex. And I said, why are you so interested? He said, you don't know, it's famous, and we really want it. That's the Holy Grail. Okay. Fantastic. So you have an impressive collection of awards of distinction. I'll just read some of them out.
Okay.
2019 Winston Churchill Fellow.
Mm-hmm.
2018 Community Engagement Winner. 2018 Guba Professional of the Year Finalist. 2018 Highly Commended Woman in Science, 2018 Most Influential Black Asian Minority Ethnic in UK Technology, 2017 Outstanding STEM Ambassador Finalist for STEMnet, and 2016 Winner of the Royal Society of Biology Science Communications Awards.
Amazing, we thank God.
And lots more.
And lots more.
As well, lots more. Okay. With this very, very impressive collection or clutch of awards, what advantages do you feel that your achievements provide for teenagers from Black, Asian, minority ethnic backgrounds looking for a role model?
Right. So, yes, for me, it's all about giving back. And as I said, I was 17 when I came to England, and there were a lot of things I had to unlearn and relearn, a lot of information I was missing, and I've worked hard and still working hard, you know, to keep going and hopefully be a role model to a lot of other young people like myself who are still coming through the system. So the advantage, I would say, it's nothing like lived experience, so it's easier to give back. Share experiences with those who are willing to listen to that experience. The other advantage, again, I would say, I love doing things like this because there's no point keeping your achievements on your shelf to yourself.
Yeah.
And so it's all any avenue where you can share success stories and share the realities of the journey to encourage someone else is always a plus. And it does make a difference because, you know, there are a lot of young people older than me at the time when I was starting out that I looked up to and thought, oh my gosh, you know, if they've done it, then I can do it too. So
fantastic.
I hope there's a purpose that it does serve in terms of giving back and encouraging other people to, you know, find your way.
Okay, so thank you very much for that. When is science, street science?
Yes. That's likely, street science.
Yeah, likely to return. I saw clips. I saw videos of that.
yes.
And the other question.
Yes.
Apart from when it's going to come back.
Yes.
I guess it's coming back.
It will. It is coming back 100%.
Fantastic. So, when it comes back, how do you think the new normal will affect the way you deliver the next iteration of street science?
Okay. So Basil Street Side didn't run last year for obvious reasons. This year we had to review whether or not it was going to go ahead or not. We're still 50-50 at the moment, and that's because the British Science Festival is coming to Essex this year, and I'm involved in that as well. And so,
are you going to invite Tag Radio to come along?
Everyone's invited. I'd love to send you the information.
Broadcast from
yes, you can. Sure, that would be great. Yes, yes, definitely. It's been hosted. Yeah, I can give you details. Like Andrew Ruskin University is the main host site. There's a few other areas that will be events running. And the British Science Festival is run by the British Science Association, who I've worked with in the past. And as I said, the ladies from that office who had nominated me for snapping the stiletto. And so with the festival coming to Essex, I think what I'd rather like to do is direct the Basildon team to go support British Science Festival rather than doing Basildon Street Science this year as well.
Okay.
So we'll direct the traffic to British Science Festival. So next year, 2022,
Basildon Street Science
100% will be back. Direct. Yes, and hopefully.
So, what can we expect from it in 2022?
Okay, so you can expect we'll be out on the town square in Basildon.
Yeah, who's going to be there?
It will be pretty much a lot of the science societies and researchers and science companies, both locally and from London, most of the time, and the rest of the UK.
Is the mayor coming?
He's always there.
He's always there. Okay.
The mayor's and always the there. Our MP's always there.
Fantastic.
Mayor would be there. MP would be there. Hopefully, they'll still be in office. Whoever is in office, usually, they're quite good.
Science minister?
Wow, do you know what? Why not? Why not get the science minister down, you know? Because the whole idea, we're getting the science bubble. We're not busting the city science bubble, but then basically what we're trying to say, there's more to the UK than London and Cambridge and, you know, Scotland and Manchester. And when you live in places like Basildon, you're disadvantaged by location. I'm not sure what things are like in Grays, possibly to an extent, because to actively seek quality engagement, whether it's in science, it's in art, it's in, you know, media, you probably have to travel
a bit. Okay. we're gonna go to a break, and we will be right back with Dr. Hepsi Tagore right after this break. You've been listening to Real Life with Femi Biwoy. My guest in the studio today is Dr. Hepsi Tagore. Whatever you do, don't touch the dial. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to a radio stream from TVS Now with Femi Ibiwaya. Inspirational.
Engaging.
Uplifting radio. Don't touch that dial.
GP appointments at the moment, and then you have the 111 service as well, where you can get diagnosed remotely without physically having to go to your GP practice. So there's that side of things. Whether or not it helps in terms of, I mean, usually when people can't get through to the GPs, you know, go on Google straight away, what's wrong with me, and it doesn't always help. So there are pluses and there are, you know, negatives along those lines. But I don't think anything beats face-to-face interactions with a healthcare professional. And so I think it has improved accessibility and wait times as to when people can get seen with their concerns. But at the same time, I don't think the medics may not agree with this. I don't think diagnosing.
Yes. They don't have a choice.
I don't think diagnosing remotely can compare to diagnosing someone in front of you.
Okay. So doctors up and down the country, all around the world, didn't like the internet doctor of the past. So there was an iteration where some doctors put together like an online medic. Where you'd go, you'd put in your symptoms in there, they'll diagnose and try and give you suggestions about what could be the issue. And there was a lot of criticisms about it, that doctors need to see patients, blah, blah, blah.
I would agree.
Okay, so rolling the pandemic.
Yes.
And suddenly the glass barriers come up.
Yes.
And everybody is wearing a face mask. And everybody is wearing a screen and everybody is covered up. And then I walked into a friend's house who is a medical doctor. And he was running a consultation from home. and I was stunned. Now, the year before, this doctor could hardly boot up their computers properly. So life has changed significantly.
Oh my goodness.
And it looks like the technology that they were not prepared to countenance.
Yes.
They are now embracing it.
It's funny you say that, you know, and it cuts across a lot of different areas. And it's like typically, you know, homeworking is one of those things, though. People talking about, you know, 4-day weeks, allowing people flexible working.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't really need massive office space for everyone to come in. And then obviously COVID happened. And
what about the social interaction?
And yeah, you know, and the lunchtime meals and all the money you can save, you know, from not going to the canteen and the coffee shop down the road. And you know what? There's an element to the pluses and negatives. I think the hybrid approach, I think some people are trying to take, and that's probably the better way forward. In that, you know, you can, the office space is there if you need to book it, but you know that strictness of you must be at work Monday to Friday between this time and that time. I think 100% we have moved away from that.
Are you sure?
Well, I'd hope organizations would be a bit more open-minded and allow their staff to.
We live in hope. The investment banks haven't are calling their people back.
But they definitely don't need them to be at work, though. Investment banking, if you're going, well, I mean, not that I know how they work specifically.
Calling them back in for at least 3 or 4 days a week.
Yes, but 1 or 2 days is not bad, because again, the social interaction doesn't, because there are a lot of people who live alone and, you know, and probably live in flats, and getting out of the house for a purpose is difficult to do if you don't have to be somewhere, you're stuck indoors.
Yeah.
Whereas if you do have to go to work 1 day a week, at least you get out for some fresh air and you make that journey. So, hybrid approach. Let's take the hybrid approach.
Okay. I don't think the commercial landlords would like me saying this, but is there a danger that the rats may be taking over the offices in London?
They need to innovate, isn't it? So we're being innovative. Yes, we just need to be innovative and use those spaces for something else that would draw people
housing?
In.
Housing, perhaps?
Yeah. A creative space.
Or maybe city gardens. Plant a few trees.
True. There's too many buildings. So, fantastic. You know, put up some nature and help with the mental health and well-being.
Well, landlords out there, you've heard it from the doctor herself. Pay attention and go and do it.
Yes.
Okay. Not everyone has accepted that COVID-19 is just a predictable pandemic.
Mm.
When I say predictable, Bill Gates kind of talked about the possibility that there would be a pandemic as far back as 2016.
Yeah.
And he said America wasn't ready.
Mm.
Neither was the world. And he suggested that they take steps. And because of that, he's now being touted as a subversive.
Yeah.
As if he knew it was coming and he was involved in making it come. So, there have been many pandemics in the past.
Yeah.
The bubonic plague, the Spanish flu, to name a few. What is responsible for the wide diversity of opinions about this health emergency? And how can people be reassured that these things will happen naturally and that there isn't a sinister agenda behind it?
Yeah. I'm glad you asked this question, because it brings us back to what we do as science communicators. Because the whole idea, and we like to say science isn't finished until it's communicated. And yes, we're using the pandemic as an example in this instance. But the idea is there's so many different people in society with different levels of experience, with different kinds of mindsets, and people that take things literally. Somebody will start a rumor and people would rather run with that rumor, and some media outlets don't help with the headlines that they put out.
Yeah.
And so the whole idea is making the information, the complex information that traditionally will be kept within maybe the GP hub or the science industry or the pharmaceutical industry, make that accessible to the ordinary person. So open up your labs and let people come in and see the kind of work that you're doing. You know, take off the traditional white lab coat. Not everyone wears a lab coat, yes, but you know, take that off and get out there, you know, through things like the street sign, and just have conversations with people. If you can establish that trust between the public and scientists, you know, or or, you know, the journalist, if there is that element of trust, then if your neighbor down the road said to you, oh, Bill Gates predicted this and they went ahead and, you know, infected society with the virus so they can monetize it, then your other neighbor who...
But that's the suspicion, isn't it? That is the suspicion. That this was created in order to create an opportunity for people who are already rich to make more money.
Yeah, you know, these rumors would always be there. So it's up to the professionals and those in positions with the right information.
Reassure us,
to
doctor.
Have dialogue.
Doctor, reassure us.
You must have dialogue. Science communication, come out of your offices and your roundtable discussions and the decision tables,
yeah,
and just go to your local community groups and have conversations with them. Let them ask you the questions directly,
yeah,
and just be honest, because if people have assurance and confidence in the information you've given them, not by watching you on TV, not by reading a newspaper headline, you know, and then perhaps who they trust. We need to see change the balance of who society trusts. Okay. And at the moment, they'd rather, most people would rather go with the YouTuber and the
that
propaganda
no
that they're passing on, as opposed to
the rumor-monger.
Exactly. I mean, everybody likes a bit of gossip, right? And so, what is boring news? So we all need that gossip and that juice. But if we had a lot more experts going out
Listen
on the street,
to the experts.
Yes, and okay. just talk to the ordinary person on the street.
Okay, so my father was a microbiologist.
Okay.
So I used to go into the labs with him
okay.
from time to time. And as you go into the lab, you'll see, even as far back as the 70s, the 80s,
mm-hmm.
I'm showing my age now, you'd see signs with biohazard
okay.
on it, which were warnings about the protocols that you had to take. There were
yes.
places that you safe spaces within the lab.
Yes.
And there were other places that you wouldn't go to because of the
yes.
contamination risk or the cultures that were in that area.
Yeah.
So, are you saying that the community should be encouraged to access science labs?
How open
and,
days.
And work environment?
Yes, to an extent. Obviously, as you said, there are areas that you can't access. We can show you through the window.
Okay.
But, you know, most labs have a lot of school kids coming all the time, most of the time.
Yeah.
I mean, they might not be primary.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to go through all the risk assessments. And you'd have to obviously give that pep talk about
yeah.
what you kind of can't touch and dress up in the right PPE.
Mm.
They are already doing that. But it needs to change from the school groups
yeah.
to the wider community. Just open up your doors.
Okay, open up your doors.
And
okay,
then
so
look like
this
big secret space. Okay.
Open up another door to something that is contemporary and is actually going on now.
Okay.
And it's contextual to the pandemic as well.
Mm-hmm.
You are a scientist.
Yes.
You're a doctor of science.
Yes.
Maybe not this
I don't know where this question is going now.
Not this particular science.
Let's hear
we
it.
We must squeeze, because some of the other doctors haven't come on the program.
Okay.
Tell us, you know, what's going on. So we'll squeeze the doctor that we can.
Let's hear it.
Okay. So, is there
mm-hmm.
a significant risk to the health of the nation from the Indian variants of the coronavirus? Also, is there a third lockdown on the cards? Because
okay.
it looks like this thing is still spreading. I don't want to be a rumor monger. We're just reading the news.
Mm-hmm.
What can we as Joe Public do to mitigate the risk of infection, even after two jabs of the vaccine?
Well, that's standard protocol. And so in as much as we've had the jabs, we all know it doesn't guarantee that
yes.
you're not going to catch the virus. It doesn't guarantee that you may not be a silent carrier that you can pass on to
so
someone
why
else.
Take the jabs?
Well, it comes back to the hard effects, right? You're putting me on the spot today.
Okay.
Right, should we go back to school? So
yeah.
the whole idea of herd immunity, okay?
Yes.
And how we've been able to eradicate previous pandemics, one that we're almost eradicating globally being polio, right?
Okay.
And so if these viruses or microorganisms
mm.
need hosts to
mm-hmm.
keep multiplying,
yeah.
you know, so
is it like a website host or?
They need people, they need
okay.
individuals, they need
Fantastic.
Other living things
yes.
to be
okay.
able to infect, to keep growing and multiplying.
Okay.
And so if you have three people holding hands
mm-hmm.
and the virus can easily jump from person one, two, three in that circle,
mm-hmm.
but then again, you have another scenario where you have three people, but person two
Yeah.
It's immune from this virus. Mm. That micro with that virus cannot jump from person one to person three because it's now a barrier.
Okay.
And so over time, they would also
fizzle out.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so the whole idea is, it's not okay, you have a vaccine, so I don't have to maintain the social distancing, I don't have to wear my mask, because mm-hmm. you're still at risk of infecting someone else.
Yeah.
And someone else who is carrying or hasn't had a jab, and they can also keep spreading it around.
Okay.
And you do have the vulnerable people as well, who for various reasons would not have been vaccinated
okay.
at the time. And so yes, people are anti-vaccine, and there's this huge crazy conspiracy, you know, we're all gonna die anyway at some point, something's gonna kill you,
not
you
today know? Not today. And that's the question.
And then they're quoting me that doctor said everyone's gonna die, so you know,
not next week either. So the reason why we're asking is because we want to be leaving next year. We want to come to Science Festival.
British Science Festival. So no, just no, please.
We want to come
to Science, Street Science Festival. Excellent.
To Science next year. Okay, so what is the risk to the health of the nation from the Indian variant?
Okay. I don't think we need another lockdown, personally.
Okay.
Because if we look at the risk-benefit analysis, I think at this point, there's a lot more harm than good that it would serve.
Okay.
Not just to businesses, hint, hint. But obviously, just, you know, obesity, diabetes, constipations, there's so many other secondary effects that have come along because of this lockdown. And it's going to take years to recover from some of these things.
Okay.
You know, and so I don't think another lockdown is the solution. People just need to abide by the regulations.
Wash your hands, wash your fingers,
you know,
wash your toes.
Wear your mask. Just put your mask on and social distancing.
Like KIG. Head, shoulders, knees and toes.
There you go. Just keep doing it all over. And as well, population needs to be immune.
Okay.
To this virus, and by shielding everyone away, so they're going to be that, you know, you need to let people out and let
people out of the zoo.
Yeah, and then I also personally believe, you know, the universe is going to unfold as it needs to. You can't just not. Someone might quote me on this now. There's not much manipulation.
I don't want to ask you about climate change. now. Why don't you just leave the climate together? Let it be.
But you know, let's
drive our cars and not go electric. Okay, so I didn't say that, and not on air as well. Okay, so what is the connection between COVID-19 and 5G?
Oh my goodness, there's no connection, people. They're not related at all whatsoever. They're not even cousins, not even third, fourth, fifth cousins. There's no connection. I mean, what's technology got to do with a virus?
Well,
it doesn't even make sense when those rumors were flying around. Like, how is that even possible? There's no way. Is the virus, I don't know, is the 5G going to mutate the virus? The waves are going to mutate the virus? You know, we didn't get a pandemic outside Hiroshima. That was like deadly nuclear explosion. It didn't lead to, if anything else, it's going to kill the virus and wipe them out.
Yeah, but okay, so where did the connection between 5G and the pandemic and the virus and coronavirus? Where
the YouTubers.
YouTubers.
The YouTubers.
Which is it the dark state or is this the religious?
I can't be held for liable. Someone's going to see me on air now. Rumors start, you know, from wherever they could start from. But it's actually practically not possible.
Okay, but the rumors, they say there's no smoke without fire. There's smoke everywhere. We're seeing smoke. This 5G and coronavirus thing. There's smoke everywhere. Are you telling us there's no fire?
There's no fire.
So where's the smoke? How did they create the smoke? Is it miracle smoke?
Oh gosh, you put me on this one today.
Let's move on.
There's no connection.
Let's
like you hear some of the, it's like anyway. Yes.
The but who are the proponents of this in the African community? Who are the people who are driving this agenda? Because you know this thing can be going on in America, but unless Africans actually believe it. And Africans believe their leaders. They believe their role models. Yeah? So who are the role models that are convoluting the argument and bringing this to
I don't think it came from the Africans, though, because the videos I saw, well, I don't think of the African people. It was like a group of construction workers on a Western building site somewhere.
They constructed the story.
Oh, the one, yeah. That's a good one.
Okay, that's
a good one.
Let's move on. So the pandemic has brought a lot of uncertainty and financial shock, leading to many people falling ill with mental health issues.
Yeah.
And you talked about some of them, obesity and stuff like that, illnesses that have increased, and also lack of access to proper medical interventions.
Yes.
Increasing cancer, worsening the cancer outcomes for a lot of people. What support is out there to actually help vulnerable people?
Right, so, I mean, we have to give a shout out to community nurses at this point, because I think they're, you know, doing amazing in terms of being back out there for their patients and seeing how best they can be supported. We also have small community groups. The one that comes to mind straight away, I know there's a group up in Manchester, they said the Greater Manchester area, called the CAN Network.
Caribbean
Health Network, I believe they're called.
Okay.
And they do a lot of community outreach with other, you know, nutritionists and the medics, like in the area, just to, you know, support those who need supporting. You know, you have local areas like the Rotary Clubs, you know, who, you know, you have the befriending service, you have the Listeners 101, I think it's a young people, you know, call service. You have the Samaritans, who are always there to listen. So, and I think for a lot of people as well, it's knowing where to go and where to get the information or where support is, because a lot of people are lonely and not in a very good place, or don't even know what to do, and particularly when it comes to our community as well, you know, we don't like to share or with someone else, so that they can provide assistance or provide help. And even when it comes to the health sector, again, people don't even give the correct information to their health professionals when they do see them, and they do have conversations with them. And so you're going through A, but then you're only sharing C when there's B that that health professional needs to have complete story, you know, so they can give you the best possible advice or care or referral that you need. Again, it comes back to an element of trust. Even when we go back to Ghana, I know there's, if we come to, I'm digressing a little bit, but maternal health is such a huge issue, because mothers go to clinics and just won't share, you know, true reflective health information that medics need to deliver your baby safely, and just die prematurely for no reason. And, you know, what's the worst that can happen by sharing that information? So there needs to be a mindset shift, you know, immigration, the immigration issues as well, as to why the people would not share certain information. And it may be that, you know, for some people, they're not even using their own names. It may be that the address that they have on the system, you know, so it's an issue, you know, the people like, you know, you and I, who are supposed to an extent, we're a bit more privileged, and we can...
Who told you I'm privileged?
A bit more privileged, I said. You know, but there are a lot of our people who are not in a very good place, especially when it comes to health and accessing the right health that they need as well.
Okay. So on a serious note,
yes,
if you are struggling with one issue or the other, by not confronting the issue and not sharing and not approaching and looking for someone who can support you, you only increase the period of darkness, uncertainty, anxiety for longer. Nobody should be under significant mental health pressure. Seek help. Seek help. There's help out there. No matter what your circumstances are, this is a godly nation.
Yes.
This is still a godly nation where the welfare of the citizenry and the people who inhabit this land is a priority, unlike other countries. So seek help. Okay, we're going to go to another break.
And when we come back,
we're going to go into the final lap of our discussion with Dr. Hepsi Tagoe. You're listening to Real Life with Femi Biwoye. My guest today has been fantastic, a wonderful scientist, and you can see why she's won such a large clutch of awards. Whatever you do, don't touch that dial. Stay there with us, and we'll be right back after this break.
You are tuned in to a radio stream from TBS Now with Femi Ibiwaya. Inspirational, engaging, uplifting radio. Don't touch that dial.
Welcome back to Real Life with Femi Ibiwaya. My guest today is Dr. Hepsi Tagoe. Dr. Hepsi has been very, very prolific in explaining to us how science works and how not to be afraid of the pandemic, just to take measured steps, and how to, much more importantly, seek help if you're going through a challenge. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're not, no matter what anybody says to you, you're not alone. You're not the first person who's gone through that situation. You will not be the last person who will go through it. And many, many people, no matter how difficult your situation has been or looks to you, somebody has come out of it and come out on the other side, and they're successful and they're thriving. So you can do it too.
100%. I love that.
Dr. Tagoe, welcome back to Real Life with Femi Ibiwaya. So who are your mentors?
Ooh, my mentors. Excellent question. I always love to shout them out. So I'm going to have to start with mine was amazing. Probably the latest mentor that I had, or I have, who is Shola Alabi. So she
shout out to Shola Alabi.
Lady Shells, as I like to call her. She has been a godsend to me. I've only known Shola for about 3 years, I believe. And she started mentoring me through my learning center business. So she has more than one.
Fantastic.
And she's been in the education space for years. So
she's been on this program. She was prolific. She was on point. She was intelligent. I just felt like I was just in awe.
She's an amazing lady. Yes. So Shola would be one I'm actively working with at the moment. I also have another mentor by who brought out my confidence a lot. Her name is Lucy Quist. So
Lucy Quist. Shout out to you.
Yes, British Ghanaian or Ghanaian British. Also very well travelled. She used to be, I hope I get these terms correct, she used to be the country director for Airtel. I hope
Airtel.
I got that right.
Okay,
and then she's now with, let me not say the right wrong company, but anywho, Lucy Quist, you can Google her. She's written The Bold New Normal, Hope for Africa. She champions a lot. Africans need to be, you know, owned.
Is her book available on Amazon?
It is available anywhere and everywhere. Audio version, whole works. Lucy is the kind of person you need to talk to, you know. I mean, have one conversation with Lucy and your life would be transformed on all levels. And so look her up.
When can I have an appointment with you?
So, yes. That's Lucy Quist. And then I also have my science communication sector. There's a lady, an Asian lady called Dr. Sai Pathmanathan.
Pathmanathan.
She's one of our trustees, actually scientific. And she mentored me in the science communication sector.
Shout out to Dr. Sai.
Yes, it's an end of course. I'd have to talk about family. He was always there. Yeah. But my top three mentors will come to mind when you ask about my mentors. I have a remote one who doesn't know me, but I know her really well. It's going to be a funny one, but I love Beyonce. Not so much for her music, but her work ethic. And I've grown with her, you know, from a similar age.
I won't ask you anything about it. That is just going to take us down the rabbit hole.
And so, yes, you have some virtual mentors that you don't necessarily have.
Ladies out there, don't knock me off your listening schedule.
Yeah, I did specify for her work ethic people, so you know, and it's a beautiful song that she has, I Was Here. And I think the way I see her, that song symbolizes how I see her as a person in terms of, you know, I was here, I gave my all, did my best, and left this world a better place just because
she's
I was here.
Album.
You know, yes. Please.
Oh, there's a rumor going out. Let's do a little bit of trivia. Now that you're talking about we nearly broke the station. Now that you're talking about Beyonce, there's a rumor going out. Do you know anything about it?
What's that?
That they've got a brand new roller coming out. A blue Rolls Royce.
Really?
Yeah. $20 million.
Oh, well.
One of three.
I won't put it past them.
Yeah?
I will not put it past them. But that I am not aware of.
Oh, you're not aware of it? Okay,
no, I don't stop. Not, yeah, no, no, yeah. We can move on. I'm not aware of that.
You're going to go and search for Beyonce and Jay-Z's Rolls Royce.
You know, yes, okay. Maybe I should. But yeah, those are my top three role models that come to mind straight away.
Okay, so what lessons have you learned from your mentors?
Okay. So,
what advantages have they helped you gain? And then also, who are you mentoring?
Okay, so what have I learned? Different things from all the top three names that I've mentioned. With Shola, as I've said, she keeps me on my toes a lot with personal development, you know, with, you know, business side of things. And well, personal, business, family, more holistic approach.
Yeah.
You know, we probably speak 5 days a week, if not 7 days a week.
Wow.
On useful, sensible conversations.
Okay.
And she opens up a lot of opportunities for me as well. Yeah. And obviously she brings a lot of wealth of knowledge to the education sector, of which I'm in at the moment.
Yeah.
Lucy did a lot for me in terms of confidence and owning my excellence. Because you know, now when you're reading out my credentials, you know, I smile because I'm like, well, I did achieve these. A few years ago, I'd be like, oh my gosh, can you, like, it's okay, it's no big deal, you know. So at least it brought me out of that phase and it's like, you know, you are amazing, you've achieved a lot, own your excellence, and, you know, be proud. Not that I wasn't proud about it, but, you know, we raised to be humble and this, yeah, not be boastful, but, you know, you did achieve them, so there's nothing wrong with celebrating.
Absolutely.
Yes, she did. So at least it helped
the
me
a
little bit.
The problem is when
exactly. And then you say, yes, so it's a way to celebrate the small wins, you know, and your profile needs to, what's the word?
Blow
proceed.
Up.
Yes, there we go. So I had to change things around a lot. You know, I've got a website. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm amazing. So why not talk about it?
Yeah.
And so yes, Lucy helped me a lot with that. And site as well. You know, she was actually the first science communicator I had a long conversation with. Mm. And she caught my attention there. She's like, I've been a science communicator for how many years? My brother's a GP and I earn more than my brother does. I love money as well, you know. I'm like, what? She
has
more than
you
her
did,
GP.
She did.
And at the time, so I thought, okay, you know. And we didn't talk about this, but I had gone through a lot of different science sectors.
Okay.
Because everywhere I went, it wasn't right for me. Mm-hmm. And I get very bored easily. Mm. So I transitioned.
I hope this interview is not boring you.
No, it's all lovely. It went everyone's one way, you know, but it hasn't. And so, you know, I worked in industry, I worked in pharmaceutics, I worked in biotech,
yeah.
Small startups, you know, the bigger farmers, academia. But wherever I went, it wasn't right.
Okay.
And so I kept moving and moving until I discovered, you know, now I'm where I can thrive, you know. And
right
so,
in the center. God's will for your life.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Purpose-driven life. And Sai helped with that as well through her support. And there's a gentleman I didn't mention, actually, recall. Rick was the one who encouraged me to go for the Churchill Fellowship.
Okay.
And he supports geoscientific. Rick Hall.
Rick Hall.
Yes, he lives up in Australia.
Shout out to Rick Hall from
Nottingham. He mentors me a lot in terms of the charity side of things. So, yes.
Okay. So, we kind of spoke a little bit about, kind of touched on core, encouragement, motivation, and obviously faith.
Yeah.
So, how can faith leaders do better in guiding their congregations? And we're talking about faith across the diverse pond.
Yeah.
How can they do better in guiding their congregations to adopt positive attitudes to healthcare interventions?
Okay,
pandemic.
I think I understand the question. So the role of, I suppose, the faith sector.
Are you involved in a faith group?
Oh yeah, I'm Christian.
Okay, so do you have like a church community?
I do.
Okay, and do you have an outreach?
In the church. So we have transitioned places of worship.
Okay.
So I'm not actively involved in any of the outreach through where we worship at
but the church
moment,
does have it.
But the church does.
So how do they engage with the community? What kind of outreaches do they do?
Food bank is a popular one.
Food bank,
yes.
That is fantastic. People like to eat.
Yes, food bank is a popular one. And actually, again, because of the platform that we're on, and I spoke about Khan earlier, and some of the work that they do, you know, it's about a lot of the food they get given from those who go to the food bank is pasta and canned
foods,
Italian boxed stuff,
pastas,
but it's not the usual food that our people would eat. Yes. And so they advocate for, you know, add Gary to the mix. You know, the food bank is
Black Eyed Peas.
Yes, traditionally designed for the average white person.
Fantastic.
And so, you know, if we have the black people who need to access that service,
yeah,
like, probably don't know how to cook what's given to them.
Okay, so food bank, please give some of your Gary, give some of your Kenke.
Yes.
Yeah, give some of your jollof rice. Well,
the have an African rice, food section.
African food section. But please do not give them any suya. Because they won't be able to preserve it.
Yeah, so those are some of the things that needs to be highlighted too. These are based on the outreach initiatives.
And no stock fish.
No stock fish either.
Because the whole place is just going to be
smelly and all of that. Outreach-wise, I actively do my outreach through my local Rotary Club.
Okay.
My dad was a Rotarian. I'm part of the Basildon Rotary Club as well.
Fantastic.
And
what are the Rotary ladies called?
We're all Rotarians.
Are they still Rotarians? I thought they had a different name.
They probably changed based on, you know, affirmative action these days. We're all the same.
Okay.
I don't know why it's been changed too, but we don't have a special name at the moment. I did ask earlier on, you know, who am I mentoring as well? And so, I mean, loads of people there.
Okay.
I say I have through my learning stuff, I see a lot of young people, and specifically mentor girls alone. There are some specific girls who have sort of the service, so I work with them directly. But again, you know, I love working with young people, and I mentor a lot of them.
Fantastic. What is your biggest challenge outside of work?
Oh gosh, outside of work, biggest challenge.
How to spend your money. It's not
That would not be hard to do at all. Online shopping is amazing. I'll probably say it links into work slightly, but finding a work-life balance is something that I'm always consciously trying to get right. Obviously, you know, I'm involved in quite a lot of things, and I've got two little girls as well and a husband. So I've got my home to run, and it's finding that balance with faith, family, you know, findings, business, you know, just that circle of life.
I like the way you put it. Faith, family, finance, funding, all of them. FFF.
That's Shala, you know. Where are your goals, MC? Yes, so it's.
I think
that's a challenge. I'm still working on that.
You are F's. You focus on F's.
Yes.
And she focuses on P's.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hers were P's. I remember they were P's. I'm sure if I really crank the brain,
you remember
cells,
what they were. So that would probably be what the outside of work, although this interlink with work a bit more. But you know, there's no point being excellent in your workplace, and I suppose you can be amazing everywhere. But I like to think I can be amazing everywhere.
Well, we haven't found anywhere that you're not amazing. So, Dr. Hepsi,
yes,
if you could turn back the clock and become an 18-year-old today. You have the social media handles, the mobile phones, virtual reality, Alexa, augmented reality, driverless cars, all of that technology. What choices would you be making as an 18-year-old with all of that at your disposal today?
Choices in terms of what I prefer for all of
life choices. Your outlook to life, and where would you be going? Would you be on this scientific journey, or would you be an astronaut? Would you be an aeronautical engineer? Would you be running a fashion house?
Interesting question. You know, I did say I've gone around about a lot to get to where I'm at. So if I had to do things differently based on everything available to me now, it would be my choice of degrees. I've got a degree and a master's and a PhD.
Yeah.
All in science. And now I'm in business.
Yeah.
I don't have any business qualifications.
Okay. And you have plenty of business experience.
And now I have a lot of business experience.
And mentoring. So you've done an MBA on the job.
Exactly, you know. Although my husband thinks I need to do an MBA because half the women. But yes, I think one thing that I would do differently would probably be my MSc. I don't think it was wise to do an undergrad scientific degree and do an MSc scientific. And then do a PhD in science as well.
Okay, can you caveat that? Because somebody's listening now and they're mm-hmm. thinking to themselves, okay, I want to have a fully scientific career. You are a scientist.
Yes.
But you're an entrepreneur.
Yes.
Which is two different things. So you're a business creator. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And also a scientist.
Yeah.
And I'd like you to make the distinction between the two so that it's encouraging for the professional scientist to continue to pursue his professional science and not get distracted and say, oh, well,
let me go do something else. Yes, so it doesn't have to be business.
Yeah.
But it's that idea of, and I suppose the sector has realized that as well, because now there's a lot of emphasis on continuous professional development.
Yeah.
And it can be any sector at all whatsoever. It doesn't have to be in the industry that you set yourself, you know, the science organizations who do CPDs in perhaps creative writing.
Yes.
You know, so you have to choose where you want to, what CPDs you want to do.
Yeah.
That's continuous professional development. You might be like, for my listeners who don't know what CPD is. So I think it comes back to career advice.
Okay.
And giving people information so they can make an informed choice. And that is what I didn't have. Hence why I went around about and was informed a lot of the work that we do through GA Scientific. Because having the information available, maybe through social media and Alexa and Google and all of those amazing, you know, future things now, the information that I had at the time would have been different and I would have made different choices. You know, and I'm digressing a bit, but again, society does this in trying to silo young people to decide too early where they want to be. And so you start off...
What is too early?
Well, it starts from... You need to know what A-level choices you want to do 100%. Yeah. But if we're going to, say, pick your A-levels at the end of GCSEs, I think year 9, you have to choose what GCSE subjects you want to do, apart from the compulsory ones. Yeah. And then from there, select what... A-levels you have to do, and that informs what university degree you're going to do. And so I get things like, if you haven't done A-level science, any of the sciences, you can't go to university. You don't want to do a university degree because there'll be a lot of knowledge gap.
Okay.
But there needs to be a lot more crossover.
Okay. In terms of young people are listening now, how can they get in into contact with yourself through either your learning centers or through probably applying to be an intern or a mentee. How can they reach you?
So I do have a personal website. Is it a good idea to share my email?
Probably not on this program.
All right. I'm not sure how these things work. I do have a personal website.
If you have an Instagram.
I do have Instagram.
Maybe we can start with that.
Yes.
We can DM you.
DM at Millennial Language. I'm a millennial, by the way. I'm in that bracket.
Right, okay.
Post 1980. was at Hanat, Hanat _ Akodo, Akordor. That's Instagram. Same name on Twitter, Facebook. Hefsi Angela Tego. And my website is the same, hanatakodo.com.
Fantastic. Okay, so they'll need to listen to this a few times in order to be able to pull it all out. We're coming close to the wrap-up period. I'm sure you'd be pleased to know that.
It's been a wonderful conversation.
And we're really grateful. I wanted to ask you a question. This is not in the script. And feel free to...
Answer or not answer.
This is the money question.
Okay.
So, you're in a 1,000 club. Diamond, is it Diamond Club?
Okay,
so you are working in a financial services.
Oh, I'm with you. Platinum 1000. Yes.
Tell us all about this. Because people are listening now, they haven't really heard the money side of things. Let's talk money.
This is dicey, you know.
Okay.
Because it's finance now. No, but I'll talk about it. So this one of the other things that... Obviously, I could only talk about one thing, but again, education needs reform.
Yes.
Because we need to teach young people. I mean, young people not love money anyway.
Yeah.
But it's not the same that we were given. Mm-hmm. In that, you know, study. But we need to encourage entrepreneurship. Anyway, so money. I'm with an organization. I trade Forex. I am an investor.
Really?
I have a team of traders that I work with to encourage to make money. And so I thought it was
how many people are working for you in the
I don't know, like for me. We just trade together through...
have you made a lot of money from trading?
I'm still trading this morning. I started trading in 2019. And I'm still trading, and I have a team of traders.
Okay, so how are you looking for new entrants into the
it's a different system. We'll have that conversation on ever. Yes, 100%. And this is a dicey situation because trading is not for everyone. You know, right. Because as you pointed out,
what are the let's talk about the benefits. Forget about the risks.
The benefits. You need to be disciplined, committed, disciplined, coachable.
The benefits. We don't want to know about the work you're going to put in. Just how quickly can we get this money?
It's not a get-rich-quick scheme at all. No, it's not. I like to manage expectations.
I was liking the conversation.
Yeah, when the money came in, you need at least a year.
Work hard.
Yes, at least 6 months to a year to understand what you're doing.
Right, okay.
To get to the point where you can actually be
profitable. Have you made any money?
Yes, I have.
And you're still making money?
Yes, I am.
And you're likely to continue to make money?
100%.
Okay, DM her quick. Okay, if you had a bucket list, what would it look like?
Oh my gosh, I need to travel.
Okay, yeah, where would you like to go?
100% travel Asia. I haven't been to Japan. I'd like to do the whole Asia, you know.
Pacific.
Yes, that's what they say. I like to travel to Asia. Yeah. I'm not a fan of America. I have been there, but I'm not a fan of America at all.
So just travel.
Yeah, travel Africa. I love to travel Africa. I've only been to Ghana, which is not grateful.
Okay.
African people need to travel a lot more, you know, around Africa. Just thought I'd throw that in there.
Okay.
We're always looking to go to the world. There's some beautiful places around Africa.
What else apart from travel?
Bucket list. Okay, so I like to travel. I need to be rich.
Yeah, what about handbags, your Gucci?
I'm not that kind of person, you know.
You're not into that?
No.
Cars?
No.
Private jets?
It won't be on a bucket list.
Well,
it's not the kind of thing that would be on my bucket list. You know what? I would. This is getting so really weird, and I'm not even just saying this because of the radio show.
Yeah.
But I need to get a STEM center for Basildon. Number one.
Right.
Number two.
That's work. That's not.
It's not though.
That's I'm talking about. What do you want to do to enjoy yourself before you?
It'll give me a lot of pleasure. Travel.
You're only thinking legacy. All these questions that we have been asking is just legacy. What am I going to leave behind? No, what are you going to
for
enjoy
myself,
before you
for
go?
For myself, I would like the beach life. I'd like to just get up. Basically, you need to be financially free to just get up and live life.
Yeah, but you're already financially free. You've got a team.
Nearly there, thank God. Are you with? Yes.
When you're sleeping, they're working.
That is where we need to get to. The 1% investors. And then that bucket list, you know, you can start putting that list together.
Dr. Hefsi Tagoe, you've been a fantastic giver. Really enjoyed speaking to you. All good things must be wrapped up eventually. And with great regret, we've come to the end of the program. But before we go, do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to share with
us? It's an amazing platform that we've got here. So by all means, anyone who's got anything to share with the TAG Therok African Group, Community Voice Radio, do get in touch. Instagram at Tag Radio 1, Twitter at info_tag, Facebook at Tag Radio 1. It's been an amazing conversation. Thank you for having me.
Wow, look at the way you presented that. I couldn't have done as good as that.
Another hat I can put on, maybe.
Thank you very, very much, Dr. Tagoe. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to an award-winning scientist, I think she's a professor of science, even though she's
not one. Yes, please, I'll take it.
She's a professor of science, she's an entrepreneur, she's a mentor, she's a trainer, she's earning loads of money. And she's learning how to even earn a lot more. It has been a tremendous pleasure to have you on the program today. Until the next time you join us for another edition of Real Life with Femi Buoye, it has been a pleasure to have you listen to us today. Whatever you do, have a lovely weekend. And until same time next week, see you.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.